Well, Chris, I am on record as saying that we need to put more money into the Social Security Trust Fund. That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure that we have sufficient resources. And that will come from either raising the cap and or finding other ways to get more money into it. I will not cut benefits. I want to enhance benefits for low-income workers and for women who have been disadvantaged by the current Social Security system.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Such a nasty woman. And what I loved about the that little line is you watched, and I'm glad they had the side-by-side screens, because you got to watch him kind of wind up for it. He's got that squint on. He got his face all puckered up, and he made the deliberate move to the microphone like he really meant that. Again, you know, I go back to past debates where, you know, someone sighed. This debate, another gem of wow. But here to talk about this one and give his thoughts, I've asked John Fetterman, mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, to come talk with us. John, what do you think of this mess?
Oh boy, he really like hissed those words. He was like, what a, you know, like you were saying, he really loaded that one up, right? You know, just Hillary went 3 for 3, wasn't even close. Donald Trump threatens American democracy. What else is new in this crazy election, right?
But here's the thing. Last night was supposed to be shackles off. And I got to be honest, at the beginning of the debate, I thought, you know, someone may have given him a tranquilizer or something. He seemed kind of subdued for the quote-unquote shackles being off.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking with folks before the debate, and I said, it's going to be a tame debate. Chris Wallace doesn't put up with stuff. He's a hard questioner, and I think he really kind of intimidated Trump.
Yeah.
And that to me, you know, just my own opinion. Obviously, I thought this is the most constructive of the three debates.
Agreed.
Because they didn't just wallow in you know da 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 da, you know, 60 second talking point spiel. You could get into more discussion and more nuance and really force them to think on their feet, as opposed to, you know, just reciting a rehearsed answer that they would have prepared for. So I thought Chris Wallace did by far and away the best job moderating of the three debates. And I'm not hoping for any more anytime soon, but I think next presidential cycle, I would hope that there'll be more formats like that.
Yeah, no, I thought he did a great job, even though I'm not a big fan. Before the debate, I was beating him up a little bit for not being a fact checker, saying I'm not going to do that. But I thought his questions were really posed in a way that were equally bad for both people when he went that way.
Rick, he went after both of them. Like he went right for the underbelly on both of them, and I thought he was profoundly fair. He kept discipline. I like the way he chastised the crowd just to keep quiet. I thought it really lent itself to the best debate, and I think the candidates appreciated it too, and it gave them a chance to really see what they were about. And not surprisingly, Hillary. And I'm not saying this as a partisan. I'm just saying this as a citizen watching that debate. There really wasn't anything close, and just Donald Trump talking about my favorite line of the night was when she lit him up about his Las Vegas hotel using Chinese steel.
Yeah.
he even served it up for to crack that one out of the park.
So, no, my favorite line was the no, you are. You're Putin's puppet. No, you are. I'm going, are defense really, really, really popular with 5-year-olds. Not deserving of the presidential stage.
Well, no, and you just saw the way he slunk out of the room after the debate, like the Grinch, just, didn't stick around to shake hands or, talk to people. It was just like scowl. And it's Donald Trump, Frank Sinatra, he did it my way. You know, he, He didn't take any advice. He didn't obviously do any prep work. He didn't really do anything. He just went up there and let Donald be Donald. And it didn't go well. In any of the three debates. Barring some major WikiLeaks disclosure or something dramatic that no one can foresee right now, you got to feel good about Secretary Clinton's odd.
Yeah, are you as distressed as I am about the claims by him that he'll keep us in suspense whether he's going to respect the what happens on November 8th and all of this talk about, it's all rigged? Are you as distressed about this as I am, especially in states like Ohio?
I'm not. I think he kind of walked it back. He was joking today where it's like, I'll respect the results if I win. I think that's his way of joking. I don't think he would actually carry through that because it's not even going to be close, Rick. If you just look at the polling and the math, which isn't popular in his camp right now, but if you just look at the electoral math, it's not going to go well for him. So, of course, if this was anything close, like Gore Bush, that could really be a problem, but I don't think this one's going to be close.
I don't even see him respecting the results when he gets crushed. And I certainly don't. I guess I should ask you, do you expect when he loses, and I hope that he does big, do you see him giving the concession speech and being, kind of contrite and making the call to Hillary and congratulating her?
No, never. One of my good staffers, after my campaign ended, went up with the Clinton campaign, and he got with. He put him on a plane to Arizona. Like, Arizona's a serious play. Can you imagine that, Rick? If they flip Arizona blue, so it's like, that's humiliating. And I think you're going to have some of that, whether it's Utah or maybe Georgia or Arizona. You're going to have some red states, and that's just going to be humiliating. I don't think he's going to be gracious in his concession. I think he'll concede in the sense that, but it won't be. It'll be as classy as he's been throughout this whole race. I'm sure he will sick whatever 40-45% or whatever percentage of Americans on Hillary. Just to kind of, scorched earth kind of thing.
Right.
I don't see a honeymoon period for her.
Yeah, I don't either. No, definitely not. Especially not her, because she hasn't had a honeymoon period for 30 years. But do you buy the rumors that Donald's going to start his own TV network and pursue, bashing her like they have done to Obama over the last 7.5 years?
I don't think so. I remember when Sarah Palin was a thing. It's just kind of like, I don't think so. So, yeah, and they already have something like that. It's called Fox News.
Yeah, good point.
It's kind of redundant. I'm much more concerned at this point, Rick, with getting Katie McGinty elected. That's one that's really, really going to matter. And that's a close race. That's the one that to me, Secretary Clinton's in beautiful position. And the Senate race is going to – she needs a blue Senate. And the blue Senate could come down to right here in Pennsylvania.
So, right. No, you're absolutely right. And the question last night, John, on the Supreme Court highlights the need to have a reasonable person in that Senate seat because, she can put over whoever she wants. If you don't have the folks there to confirm it, doesn't matter.
Yeah, well – how many people can show up to their work and say, I'm not going to do my job. How long are they going to stay on the job? But that's what Pat Toomey's done. He hasn't even gone through the kabuki dance of having hearings, only knowing that they're going to, reject him anyway. It's like they won't even do that. And then when you factor in his on again, off again love affair with Donald Trump and his absolute fealty to corporate America I had a fun press event in Johnstown yesterday with Aaron McClellan, who's running for Congress in the 12th District, where we had a giant oversized novelty check for $473 billion, which is the amount of corporate income taxes. He Senator Toomey was for repealing all corporate taxes. I mean, he's said some outlandish, indefensible things that, you know, I don't understand, just wouldn't hit, you know, nearly any reasonable Pennsylvania. It's incredibly distasteful and certainly not representative of the kind of senator we want.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point, because as far out as Trump has been and as outlandish as he's been, he's kind of taken all the heat off of people like Toomey, because judging from, you know, Trump, Toomey looks somewhat reasonable.
Oh, yeah. No, Toomey looks much more reasonable in comparison. But if you look at his voting record, I believe he's got like a 93% voting rate with the Koch brothers. And I mean, there's nothing moderate about Pat Toomey, but he's certainly trying to act that way because he knows this seat's in serious jeopardy. And at the end of the day, I believe Katie will be our next senator. And to me, whether you're a Bernie backer or whether I'm with her, the best gift you can give to Bernie is a blue Senate. And then the best gift you give to Hillary Clinton at this point, other than, you know, electing her, which I'm sure she will be, is a blue Senate. And the way that's shaping up, it's coming down to Pennsylvania. Evan Bayh is increasingly struggling, and Florida has been lost, I think. They've given up in Ohio. So we really need Pennsylvania. And to all your listeners, every working man and woman in this state, you know, union has to get out for Katie, because, you know, we need this Senate seat.
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. I mean, nothing that Hillary talked about, and there were a couple of moments where, I haven't been the biggest Hillary supporter. I'm going to vote for her. But there were a couple of moments during the debate where you go, that's why I'm voting for her. Especially when she was talking about two things. About one, the economy, creating jobs, investing in education and infrastructure, and that 2 minutes and 14 seconds. And also when she was talking about women's issues, because really at that moment, I got the feeling that that was genuinely her. It wasn't something that was put together or well thought out in advance. It was genuinely who she was. And I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I think she kind of opened a window into some of the pain that she and many women feel and have felt, and the discrimination or the sexism or, you know, you name it, that they've experienced in the workplace. Hillary is just, you know, she's got a lot of stripes on her back. And thankfully, this whole process will be coming to an end soon. And it hasn't been the most dignified slog for a lot of different reasons. But to be out of the reach of Donald Trump in less than 3 short weeks, I think it's got to be a comforting notion for everybody. I know it is for me, because it just has not had a good effect on this country. It's been incredibly divisive. And I'm just hoping against hope that Hillary's victory is so decisive that it just sends Donald Trump, you know, back, you know, under the rock, because there's just no way he can possibly spin that or dispute it. Between that and electing a great slate of candidates that we have, I mean, whether it's Eugene B. Pasquale, Josh Shapiro for Attorney General, Joe Torsella for Treasurer, and Katie McGinty, we have a royal flush of outstanding candidates that we can be proud of as Democrats. And I'm hoping that we run the table, you know, in November 8th.
Yeah, I'm with you. When are you running again? When are we going to get you into
the
race?
I don't know. Whenever
places?
The right, you know, if there's a great opportunity that comes up again, like this race was, I will. But I truly love what I do here in Braddock. And it's like, to me, this is where it's all about and what it's all about. But it's just been an honor to be involved in this process, both as a candidate and as a surrogate. You know, we're excited that Hillary's coming to Pittsburgh this weekend, and I'm honored to be heading out to Fayette County to this evening, their Democratic committee dinner, to rep for both of them. So it's been a great process, and I just hope we come to a perfect 3-point landing when we just turn Pennsylvania, you know, blue from president on down.
That is the hope. John, I appreciate the time. You're a good dude. I'd like to have you back before the election real soon.
Rick, you try and keep me off the air. I love being on your show. It's always an honor. And thanks again for having me.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, John Fetterman. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.